Well, every Friday for the next few weeks, we're going to be highlighting AFSC's Women in Ag Award recipients this year. Today, we're heading to Red Deer County for a visit with Leona Staples, who received the award in the Notable Lifetime Achiever category. She's described as a legacy builder. She's co-owner and operator of the Jungle Farm, an advocate, an innovator, and a mentor whose impact will shape the industry for years to come.
So grew up on a farm, actually the farm that I live on now, the Jungle Farm. The farm has been in my family since 1897. You know, it's a multi-generation farm. We have one of those beautiful brass plaques from the province showing that our family's farmed it for over 100 years. Went through the 4-H program. I was one of those real keeners, loved everything to do with 4-H, loved my project, loved public speaking, loved parliamentary procedures, loved camps, you know, one of those ones, that was me. And while I was doing that, I met a wonderful lady in town, and her name was Marilyn McNeil, and she was their district home economist. And I said to Mom at 13, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. And I became so solely focused on that. And of course, my 4-H just fit in really well with it. And I, you know, 4-H gives you so many opportunities for travel and for meeting people and scholarships. And I went to university and at U of A became a district home economist. And I worked in three different offices. And one of the offices where I met my husband, he was a 4-H leader. And I was supporting the 4-H because that's what district home economist does. Are you even familiar with what that position was? Or are you too young to know them?
Yeah, well, I'm not that young, but I was actually going to ask you that as the next question for those of us who don't know what a district home economist does. What is the position?
So it doesn't exist anymore. So there was district home economists and district agriculturists, and we had them in agriculture offices all across the provinces. I think there was, I don't know, 60 some odd offices in small towns like Innisfail, but they were in Red Deer and Wetaskiwin. And our job was extension. And for me specifically, it was 4-H and farm women. And I did lots of like food safety, financial management, mental health. So those components is what we either taught classes, did lots of radio, TV, newspaper articles, you know, just reaching out into the community and doing those kinds of things. And I just loved what she did, and that's what I wanted to do. So I had that opportunity to do that, and I never intended to farm. As much as I was so passionate about agriculture, I never intended to be the producer. Like, I was really passionate about the sanctity of the family farm, the growing of food, the connecting food to families. Those are all really, really important pieces to me. And that job was just such a beautiful amalgamation of all that. And of course, it still had my 4-H in it, which, again, I just was one of those kids that loved that whole component of it. The writing was on the wall that the positions were going to be cut. And my husband and I had an opportunity to manage Goldeye Center, which is an educational facility out at Nordegg. And we spent 5 years out there, but it is owned and operated by a foundation with main members are cooperatives. So at the time, it was like Alberta Wheat Pool and UGG, but it's cooperators and credit unions and federated co-op. And so all the very agriculture-based type organizations. And they had a youth program, which I also went through that program. And we managed that facility for 5 years. And my mom and dad were looking to retire. My husband, his first degree was in agriculture, soil science, and his second was in ag econ, and he really wanted to farm. But he's from southern Alberta, and all of his brothers came home to dryland farm, and you can only have so many families on a farm. And so when my mom and dad were looking to retire, our next career path was to come back to the farm. So we came back to my family farm in 96 with our boys, and we started growing strawberries. It wasn't part of our farm, the market garden part of it, but it was cattle and grain, and we also did cattle and grain. And as we've gone through the years, we've just changed and evolved the farm to what the customers are asking. But my passion for that education, and whether it was children or adult education, was lost in change. When my oldest son was in kindergarten, his teacher said, Lewis really wants his class to come out to your farm. Would you do that? And I said, yes, as long as you evaluate a program and help me make it better. And today we have over 4,000 children come to our farm for educational programs. We do lots of adult education. So that piece of me that really needed to share the farm was developed just on having a farm that is open to the public. So we now are open 6 months of the year. We do lots of education. I hire lots of education students, people you pick. They come for the greenhouse. You pick strawberries and pumpkins and all sorts of vegetables. And we just move and change with what we hear the people asking us to do.
The name of it, the Jungle Farm, why that particular name?
So my great-grandfather named it in 1897 because there was a bear living here at the time. So that was when the settlers were coming in to, you know, it was the homestead era. That was under the Dominion Land Act. All this is great education that we share with families and children. But yeah, so he named it the Jungle Farm. And their job at that time as settlers was they were to clear the land and farm it. And it was so many acres that they had to have cleared and farmed to prove up the land. Central Alberta, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan were all surveyed into quarter sections. So we are the only three provinces that have such a very structured survey system because that land was available to settlers who came out and they gave them, not gave, but they had to prove up a quarter section by clearing it, living on it. And they had to do that within 3 years to be able to get the land. So
where are you guys located? You're near Innisfail, is that right?
Yeah, we're in Major County. And we're halfway between Innisfail and Penhold, right on number 2. A lot of people are familiar with our sign because we have the public coming here. So we have the Jungle Farm blue highway sign on both 2 and 2A. So my great-grandfather did a good job. He didn't put me in Timbuktu where a blue sign would mean nothing. He actually put me on a main highway as if he would know. But yeah, so we get lots and lots of customers from Calgary, you know, lots of new Canadians. We get more starting to come down from the Edmonton area. Strawberries aren't a super easy crop to grow, and that's what we're best known for is our strawberries.
In addition to working on the Jungle Farm, obviously, and everything else that you've done, you've also been on the Board of Governors with Olds College.
So I was blessed to be asked to sit on as a public board member. Boy, I don't know the years, but over it all, I was sat on the board for 13 years. The first stint was as a public board member, and I was on for 2 terms. And I actually extended, because of some health issues in my family, my term got extended. And I actually did over 6 years at that time. And then I was off for about 5 or 6 years. And then I was asked to come back on as chair of the board. And so I did that. And I've been off for about 2 or 3 years now off that. And that fuels me because that's all those pieces together again, right? It's agriculture and it's education. And I was one of those parents that was really involved in my children's school. I sat on parent councils. I was actively engaged in their education. And I learned a lot about that education system as I moved through it. And when my kids started to graduate was when I first went into post-secondary. And I learned a ton about post-secondary and the processes behind it and how you get classes approved and, you know, just the governance. And it was such a natural fit for me.
With all the work that you've done with the Women's Conference that you created in the mid-90s, with Olds College, how do you view how the roles of women in agriculture have changed over the years? And what are you foreseeing for the future?
I think women in general, our world has changed. So I look at my mom and my mother-in-law, and they were very traditional homemakers. My mom was more involved in the farm. She did run the combine. My mother-in-law did not. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. The value that my mother and my mother-in-law brought to our family was enormous and probably not recognized the way it should have been. See, a huge shift. Lots of women I worked with when I was an extension agent that were really closed in their homes. You know, they called themselves Mrs. Smith. They didn't actually have a first name. And I really felt that was part of one of my roles when I worked in that job was to connect with women and to give them the power to do the things they needed to do to support their family in whatever format that might be. But I see as I move through the circles and am involved in the college and the number of women students that are in agriculture, I see the number of women that I can mentor that are out in the field of agriculture has changed dramatically. And if there's any small piece that I can do by being a spokesperson and a face for agriculture by being a female, you know, that's important to me.
That's Leona Staples, the recipient of AFSC's Women in Ag Award in the Notable Lifetime Achiever category. I'm Cheryl Brooks, and this is The Rural Connection.